Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Sub Podcast. I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And for those of you who are just tuning in, the Betches Sub Podcast is your weekly rundown of all the crazy shit that's happened in the news, explained by your two funniest friends.
Which is us!
Today we're talking about
a book by Donald Trump Jr.,
a book by Nikki Haley,
and a book by Anonymous.
Books!
Let's get into it.
Betches Media presents.
I like beer. I don't know if you do. Okay. Do you like beer, Senator, or not?
My party is going bet crazy.
You're the pop. Alternative facts.
Oh, goodness.
The Betches Sub Podcast.
America!
Wow. For those of you at home who don't know, me and Brian just had to do the intro five times. It's not normal. Usually we can do the intro.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what's happening, but
honestly,
you know.
I know it's cliche to say Mercury's in retrograde, but Mercury is in retrograde, and I feel crazy energy in the air today.
It's because Donald Trump is in such close proximity to us right now.
That's true, because he's in New York City for Veterans Day.
Yes, I'm actually wearing my Donald Trump demagogue shirt today.
I was going to say, that's a very good shirt.
Mm-hmm,
you guys can't see it, but it's actually a really well-designed for like a Trump shirt. Like, it's a really nicely designed shirt, and it's not like offensive to the eye.
Yeah, it's the guy who does Obey. What the fuck is his name?
Shepard Fairey.
Shepard Fairey, yeah.
One of my friends almost kissed him. It's a whole thing.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's lovely.
They had like a night in college. Anyway.
Ooh.
I know.
We'll talk about that later.
I'll name all the names. Years, dates, times. I'll tell you everything.
Elise.
Yes.
What is getting you through this week in Trump's America?
Okay. What's getting me through this week in Trump's America was something that started out scary to me, but now the more that I've thought about it, I've come to appreciate it as good. Instagram will begin starting to hide like counts in the U.S. starting as early as this week. They had already done it in Canada and a couple other countries. I actually have a friend who has not had likes for a while now.
Really? In the U.S.?
Yes, in the U.S. Different friend than the one who almost kissed Shepard Fairey.
Wow, you have so many friends.
I know, and they're all involved in the news in some way, shape, or form. Yes, and at first, as someone, as you know, I get a lot of my following is on Instagram. I promote my comedy shows on Instagram. I try to get my comedy out there on Instagram. I was initially very scared. I was like, what's going to happen? But they're doing this as a part of their push to create a healthier platform and kind of amid concerns that likes damage people's self-esteem, which I think is probably true.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to think that's true, but I'm sure there's something dark and sinister there.
Okay. That's one thing that I'm thinking is I'm interested to see how it's going to lay out. From what I'm reading, it seems like you will still know, like you'll have your likes and Instagram will know. So the algorithm's still going to work the same. Like posts that are getting a lot of likes, you're going to see them higher up in your feed because Instagram knows. But you won't actually be able to see the number, which is supposedly to, make it less comparative so you don't have this like number that is attached to your self-worth, which I saw you tweet about.
Yes,
today.
I did. I said, how am I supposed to know how much self-esteem I'm supposed to have if
based
I can't
on,
get
yeah.
likes on my posts?
So I guess it's trying to eliminate that, which is probably good. My question, so that's all good. I'm like, that's probably great. Let's get rid of followers too. I don't need to see any of it. But I've already developed a complex about social media and like get freaked out about any posts that I put up and I'm checking it constantly. So maybe that'll alleviate some of that. But one thing that I do think could be maybe leading to the dark side or whatever is we're going to have even less transparency about how Instagram puts what's in your feed.
Yes.
In your feed. And Instagram already like shadow bans people, which is a thing I only found out recently, which is like They make it so that people can't search for you.
Really?
Yeah. And they'll sometimes do it with like really popular accounts. There's this account that I follow called Velvet Coke. Do
you follow Velvet Coke? Yeah,
Velvet
I love Velvet
Coke. Velvet Coke is shadow banned. If you type in Velvet Coke in the search, it won't come up. You have to go to other people who follow Velvet Coke.
That's so weird.
So Velvet Coke is shadow banned. Lord knows why. They literally just post historical photos.
Yeah, that's so
weird.
It's
a really great account. Shout out Velvet Coke.
Yeah, it is. Like, well, I mean,
they truly post like historical Hollywood photos. Yes.
Yeah. It's also, it seems like, I mean, this is the dark and sinister side. They could push the content that they want to be pushed now.
Yes. Like, and we also have to remember that Instagram is owned by
Facebook,
the most evil company.
Yeah.
Which is Facebook.
Well, remember when Instagram and Twitter used to be sequential?
Yes.
Like, why wouldn't they just do that again? You know, if they're really worried about this and like take away the likes and make it sequential again.
Yeah. So it's kind of their way to, it's interesting to see. I feel like a lot of the social media companies are trying to figure out how to respond to the backlash against social media in general. Mm-hmm. Like Instagram or Twitter was like, we're banning political ads. And it's like, that's great. But Twitter's problem is that like, is like harassment and Nazis. it's not like Twitter's problem is not Facebook's problem, which was the ads.
Misinformation.
Yeah, and misinformation. Obviously, that was used on Twitter too, and Twitter is rife with Russian bots at any. But actually, you know what? They're rife with bots of all nationalities, shapes, and sizes. It's full of bots. So they have that problem too, but it's interesting, like Instagram or Twitter addressing one problem. As opposed to their biggest problem, Facebook refusing to address their biggest problem, but maybe coming for harassment more. Like they're all trying to find ways to like, seem like they're doing something without actually changing like the fundamental issues of their platform.
Yeah. Well, we moved to TikTok as well.
So as a result, Bella Giuseppe is on TikTok.
Follow us on TikTok.
Follow us. We're trying to capture the minds of the youth.
Trying to shape some thoughts.
Yeah, we're gonna make some TikToks after our recording today, in fact. So if you follow us, you'll see some new TikToks. It's at Betches _ sup, right?
That's correct.
It's that on everything. Okay, Brian, what's been getting you through this week in Trump's America?
DJ TJ, Donald Trump Jr., recently, quote unquote, wrote a book. I don't know. I mean, I have a tough time believing that he wrote a book.
Have you seen, there's a video right now of a dog that can make sentences because it like puts its paw on different words on like a big sort of like game thing that's on the ground.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, that's how I imagine Donald Trump wrote his book, is he just kind of like paws at different words.
Yeah. What's even funnier about this is that Donald Trump, his father, said that he read the book, which no one believes.
Absolutely not.
Unless there's an audiobook version, like, maybe he listened to it, but
if
even then I doubt
read
it.
Read by Sean Hannity, which there might be.
Yeah, I wouldn't deny it. So as a result, he has been on a press tour all over the place. He's on The View, everywhere, whatever. But yesterday, more specifically, so he walked out of his own book launch because he was getting heckled. The name of his book is Triggered, which is ironic because he seemed to have been triggered by these hecklers. No, but apparently the audience was made up of some far-right folks from America First. People with white supremacist views who think Trump hasn't done enough to tamper immigration.
That is shocking.
You know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yeah, wow. Come on, bite the hand that feeds much? Good Lord.
Another interesting thing about Donald Trump Jr.'s book tour is that he has this girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle, and he's bringing her everywhere.
That's what I was thinking.
It's so weird.
She's a Fox News gal, so I'm wondering if he's like, well, she knows how to like yell at people.
She's like
on
a buffer.
News. Yes.
Because like anytime I was watching them on The View, which was a whole shit show.
Oof.
It was awful. And every time like it would get too hot for him, she would like jump in and like kind of try and diffuse the situation or something. It's like, come on, man. You're such a snowflake. Do it. Be on yourself.
Literally, it's like you need your girlfriend to do this
also,
for you, dude.
Imagine if the roles were reversed and it was a girlfriend who wrote a book and their boyfriend was coming on all these shows. People would be like, is this man controlling her?
Yeah.
Like, it would seem even more odd. So we actually have a clip from him leaving.
And to show sort of the level of hatred in that media that we keep talking about, but it is so important because it's still the filter by which everyone gets their news. It's because people hijack it with nonsense, looking to go for some sort of soundbite. You have people spreading nonsense, spreading hate, to try to take over that room.
No,
and
it's
that's the real issue in the room.
No, it's because you're not making your parents proud by being rude and disruptive and discourteous. We are happy to answer a question. 100 new women created and owned businesses a day in the United States of America in 2018 alone. Those are the facts. Even The View couldn't dispute that. They said, well, we like the jobs. People have jobs.
That's them walking out. Mix of boos, mix of cheers.
I love the, we are happy to answer a question. She like really lost it God.
Don Jr. tried to tell them that he wasn't going to take questions because it risked letting the left create sound bites it could distort and spread across social media.
So just recordings of the things that you say.
Yeah. And so there's a bunch of booing and cheers. She told the crowd, I bet you engage and go on online dating because you're impressing no one here to get a date in person. Okay. I don't understand what that means, but also I feel like
it's weird for her to pivot to like, you're not making your parents proud, you little Gen Z, because I guess this is out of college.
Yeah,
so like you can, Gen Z online daters, it's like, oh my God.
Also like,
okay, boomer.
I know, okay, boomer, but also it's like, we're supposed to be like, this woman who is dating Donald Trump Jr. is going to criticize other people's dating habits.
That is a great point.
Yikes.
That is a great point.
Look in the fucking mirror, Kimberly Guilfoyle or whatever. You know what's weird about her name? An interesting tidbit. Mm-hmm. Her last name sounds a lot like Goyle.
Like Crabbe and Goyle.
Like Crabbe and Goyle.
And she's a crony of this very Malfoy-ish man.
Yeah.
Truly.
I'm
My
sure.
My father.
Yeah. I mean, they are...
They're rich.
They are like the Malfoys.
They are. They're not as chic.
No.
And they're not as like slick, mm-hmm, I would say. But mm-hmm, they have... in that they're like
similar
a dynastic family.
Too.
Very white.
Draco and... I would say Draco and Don Jr. and have very similar haircuts.
Yeah.
Despite the color.
Yeah. And Ivanka, I would say Ivanka is the most Malfoy-ish one of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
She even has like kind of the look down and some of the slickness.
Yeah, they give a bad name. They're one of the bad people who give bad names to Slytherins, I will say.
Also, I don't think that at the end they would have like turned in the way. Like,
no.
You know what? Melania maybe would have pulled a Narcissa to save Baron, but not any of the others.
Yeah.
This is the reason people come to our podcast, is to hear this kind of analysis.
It's true. Should we do the main news?
Yeah, we should get into the main news. We're talking about a lot of books today.
Yeah.
We got to expand our libraries, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's always sort of like a rash of like Trump-related books, and we're in one
now. He's given a lot of... like a lot of power to authors.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, well, he is. I mean, in some ways, saving print media.
The written word.
The written word, exactly. So, a tell-all from an anonymous former White House official titled "A Warning." It doesn't come out until November 19th, but we're already getting some excerpts are coming out. This is written by the same anonymous Trump official who wrote that, like, I'm part of the resistance,
mm-hmm,
inside the White House article that was in the New York Times, I believe, like a while ago.
So we don't obviously know who this person is. People at the New York Times know, and they deem them credible enough, as well, mm-hmm, as the book's publisher, Javelin. They also verify that they know who the person is, and they also find them credible enough to make these statements.
Okay, so a couple of things that have come out from the book already is, number one, that, you know, a lot of Trump's policies have been caught up in the courts, been stopped by the courts. So apparently Trump got very frustrated by this and suggested we just get rid of judges altogether. He's quoted as saying, can we just get rid of the judges? Let's get rid of the fucking judges. There shouldn't be any at all, really. Which is very funny.
That is very drastic.
Yeah. Get rid of all judges. All. and replace it with
what? I don't know.
I love how little he understands how anything works. Like, he actually thinks that the president might be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's never paid attention for even 1 second in any class.
Yeah. I don't, like, I really, what was his alternative? Like, what happens after there's no judges?
Then it's just you. Trump gets to do whatever he wants. I think that's the main thing. But I was like, when I read that, I was like, okay, let's start with Brett Kavanaugh, babe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Brett Kavanaugh. We can move on to Neil Gorsuch. And then hopefully he'll be out of office by then and we'll end the process.
Yeah.
Another revelation from this book is that former Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, TBT, suggested recording Trump during a meltdown in order to justify using the 25th Amendment. And reminder that the 25th Amendment allows the vice president and a majority of cabinet officials to declare that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of office due to being a complete fucking idiot, yeah. I guess.
So this apparently went down in the spring of 2017 when Trump fired Comey and divulged classified information to some Russians in the Oval Office. We've all seen those pictures of them, like, giggling.
Yes.
Andrew McCabe, then acting FBI director, took down in a memo that Rosenstein made this request. Rod Rosenstein, though, maybe people interviewing for the FBI job could wear a wire, presumably in case Trump asked for their loyalty, as he had done with Comey before firing him.
So this story, I feel like we had heard, like, inklings of this, and then I think maybe Rod Rosenstein was like, I was joking.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think you were joking, man.
I mean, this makes me wonder. I feel like there must be recordings of Trump saying some crazy shit somewhere.
There has to be.
That, like, someone is holding on to for some reason, for their future or for some, like, insurance. Are you watching Succession?
Yes.
There must be a Greg.
Yes.
In this whole story.
And there's certainly a Greg, because they're not doing it to, like, save the world.
Yeah, exactly.
They're definitely doing it to, like, protect themselves and kind of because they're, like, a hapless, like, kind of goofy person. Journalist Yasher Ali obtained passages of the book and reported to HuffPo that officials believe that Mike Pence would have supported invoking the 25th Amendment, which isn't that surprising considering he would become the president.
Yeah.
I imagine the holdup was that if there was going to be a woman in the room when they had to do the vote, it was going to be tough for him to stay there.
Poor guy.
He'd get too horny. He couldn't stay. couldn't discharge the duties of the presidency himself.
I remember, now some people are saying that, like, this is Nancy Pelosi just wants to be president. That's why she's doing this whole thing. It's like, no. I think that, like, she would have made steps to run for president before, like, not, like, at, like, 85 years old or however old she is now.
Like, if she wanted to be president, wouldn't she have run for president ever?
Yeah.
Ever before?
Yeah. She's like, you know how I'm going to do it. Is I'm going to become Speaker of the House and then get a criminal elected.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to become Speaker of the House. I'm going to lose the speakership. I'm going to become Speaker of the House again. Like, at that point, Donald Trump, reality television star, will be president.
It's like, wow, Nance, you're, like, really calling the shots.
She's a smart woman.
She's
a brilliant tactician.
Yeah, she knows how to count votes. I wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah.
Which is another, like, odd compliment. It's like, no one counts votes better than Nancy Pelosi. It's like, don't you just, like, ask yes or no if they're voting for something and then, like, tally the yes and tally the no?
That's something I've always wondered, and I'm like, there must be something to it that I'm not understanding. There's, like, there's got to be a finesse to that that I'm not understanding, because, a lot of people are like, we got to have Nancy counting these votes. And I'm like, well, do we have...
She was an AP calculus back in the day.
Has anybody bought, like, a ticker? And then you can just... One of those ones that you just tick...
That they do on boats or, like, big buses?
Yeah. When people going into events.
Uh-huh.
There's got to be something else. If you work on the Hill and you know what the deal is, please DM us and tell us why the counting is so important.
Also, apparently last year, other aides and cabinet members at one point considered resigning en masse to demonstrate to the public how dangerous Trump's behavior had become. The anonymous author writes that Rosenstein, former Chief of Staff John Kelly, and then Attorney General Jeff Sessions were all open to pulling the trigger on the 25th Amendment.
Why didn't they do it?
I know. Speaking of Jeff Sessions, he just announced that he's running for his Senate seat in Alabama. Mm. He's trying to get
against
it back.
Doug Jones.
Yeah. Did you see his announcement video?
I didn't watch it.
It was very depressing.
I didn't want to engage with Jeff Sessions again. I was like, I thought we were done.
It was all about
Jefferson Beauregard Sessions.
It was all about how, like, did I go on CNN and talk shit about the president? I did not. Did I write a book? I did not. I love the president. He calls me an idiot, but it's fine. It was really sad.
No.
It was like you had the 30 second spot and you decided to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen any polling, but I hope that Doug Jones can hold on to that seat. I know Sessions used to be really popular there, but he's kind of, I mean, well, if he's winning as like, because Alabama's Trump country, Trump shit on him for months.
Yeah.
Made fun of him, was horrible to him. So it's like, I don't know, I feel like he's coming in pretty badly wounded. But we'll see. Yeah. It is Alabama.
And I'm sure that he'll be primaried. It's interesting how Trump just went to Alabama for the Alabama football game.
Oh, yeah, because he was chasing cheers.
Yeah.
He was just going from sporting event to sporting event, being like, please cheer me. Yeah. And then he stopped once he got cheered.
But what's interesting is Alabama had not lost a home game in, like, years. I think they had, like, over 30 straight wins in a row at a home game. And then Trump shows up and they lose to LSU.
Wow. And the Nationals won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
We know so much about sports.
I know. Yes. I think we just said two sports. Two different sports facts.
We should start a sports podcast.
Yes. Brian and Elise explain four sports. First, someone will have to tell me how football is played. My boyfriend has tried to explain it to me many times. For some reason, it doesn't penetrate my brain. And I know that makes me dumb.
Yeah.
Like, it's not because I'm so smart. I can't. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm above football. It's like something is wrong with my fucking brain. And when he tries to explain to me what the downs are, I start laughing. I'm like crying and laughing, and I'm like, I don't get what you're saying.
Not to go on another tangent, but I think about football, I don't get is like, it stops so much. Like, how can
confuses me.
How can you get, like, I can't get engaged in it because I'm like, wait, why are they stopping again?
He was like, you have three downs till the first down. I don't know. I blacked out. I couldn't understand a word he was trying to tell me. I fill my head with this nonsense. I don't have any room for it.
Yeah.
Here's something surprising. You're going to be shocked, Brian. The book also says, and I got to make sure I'm reading this right, that Trump offensively mocked Hispanic immigrants.
What?
Wow. I'm shocked. No, what he said is actually horrible. He said, we get these women coming in with like seven children, Trump said, according to the book. And they're saying, oh, please help me. My husband left me. They're useless. They don't do anything for our country. At least if they came in with a husband, we could put him in the fields to pick corn or something.
Yikes.
Yikes indeed. I mean, it's not surprising that that's what he thinks. It's just surprising that the people in the room didn't resign en masse after he said it. Like, all this stuff that's coming out, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. I definitely see that he would try to get rid of judges, that he is the most racist person ever. Like, all of this stuff is fine. It's just so crazy to me that they were like, the whole point of this book is to list all this stuff and be like, but ultimately we did all decide to do nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
and now I'm still and apparently this person still works there.
And now I'm going to make a lot of money on my book. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to keep working here and keep doing nothing. So I just do want to come out on the record and say I'm not impressed with Anonymous at all.
Well, my other thing is, writing a book is fucking hard. You have a full-time job at the White House and you have time to write this whole book.
What department is this person in? Like, yeah. What's being glossed over right now in our government because this person's writing a fucking novel?
Or, like, are you just abandoning your personal life? Like, I hope you don't have children or, like, anything.
I have my guesses, but let's go into it. So who is Anonymous? As you said, the book publisher knows who they are. The New York Times knows who they are. Business Insider has collected some breadcrumbs that point to who it could be. Here's what they're thinking. So after a 2018 op-ed, people speculated that it could have been White House counsel Don McGahn or former Secretary of State Jim Mattis or Pence. Former Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
Jim Mattis. Or Pence. But McGahn and Mattis have both left the White House. And I guess it's someone who works at the White House now.
Yeah.
So they have to be there now. Mm-hmm. Interesting. The reason, this comes back to in 2018, the use of the word lodestar in the op-ed pointed to Mike Pence because, sorry guys, there was a really loud, weird noise. And I was like, is this
is something
FBI?
Crumbling?
Is this finally happening? They're shutting down the pod. Okay. The use of the word lodestar, which is a word I've never heard before until this conversation, is apparently a word that Mike Pence uses all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was used in the op-ed. The person said they're a devoted Republican, clearly.
Yeah.
The
book has a lot of historical references, which implies someone enthusiastic about history.
Okay.
And the Republicans' positive role in it. They write that the last straw for them and what motivated them to come forward, but not really.
Yeah, exactly. Did you come forward?
Yeah. Was when Trump tried to raise the flag above half-mast after John McCain's death. It's like, really? The fucking, like, yes, it's all awful, whatever. But, like, a symbolic gesture is what, like, really turned you off. It wasn't, like, the Muslim ban.
No, or being... The horrific racist statement that you took down word for word, or trying to get rid of all judges. Okay, whatever, man. I do just love that it's like, I finally decided to come forward and make money anonymously on a book.
Another thing that he says in the book, this guy or woman, whoever it is, they said that the book, Trump's tweets would launch White House staff into a full-blown panic mode almost daily. And it writes... It's like showing up at the nursing home at daybreak to find your elderly uncle running pantsless across the courtyard and cursing loudly about the cafeteria food as worried attendants tried to catch him.
That is what it's been like to live in America.
Except that it's the president of the United States running pantsless across the nation.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Beautifully put.
So there's other names that are being speculated to who this may be. Nick Ayers, who left the White House in January, who is Mike Pence's chief of staff. John DeStefano, he's a long-serving Trump aide who left to advise Jewell in May.
I love that.
I had to do a double take on that one.
I love that.
Someone still in the White House, Andrew Bremberg, the director of the Domestic Policy Council, and he was recently confirmed as ambassador to the EU.
Oh, Gordon Sondland's old job,
This guy used to work for George W. Bush. He also worked under Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell and former Wisconsin governor Scott Walker.
I think it probably is someone who isn't like a big name person that we hear about all the time.
Yeah.
Like one of these people that was just listed.
I always thought like perhaps it's like Kellyanne Conway, even though like no one seems to be speculating that. The only reason I would say that is because George Conway is a person.
And she's like sneaky.
Yeah. I wouldn't trust her with anything in my life.
Something about the writing style makes me feel like it's not Kellyanne. Like, it's a little bit formal and, like, academic the way that they write, especially that, like, op-ed. Like, I'm part of the resistance inside the Trump administration. I feel like Kellyanne would be a little bit snazzier with her prose.
That's true.
But the complete lack of personality in the writer could be Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
But I also just feel like Mike Pence doesn't have a...
I also don't think Mike Pence would write something about a half-naked uncle or running across the courtyard.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. Yeah, it's true. That's true. I don't know. He would have to like do one of those things where he like whips himself 10 times.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm so sorry.
Also, another thing that this person says in the book, they said he comments on makeup, he makes jokes about weight, he critiques clothing, he questions the toughness of women in and around his orbit. He uses words like sweetie and honey to address accomplished professionals. This is precisely the way a boss shouldn't act in the work environment. So,
sure. Of course.
It's someone who seems to respect women.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. Enough to work for Trump.
That's true.
I
guess. Double entendre.
But that's not the only book that we're talking about today. There are more books, guys. Former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley is also coming out with a book called With All Due Respect. Snazzy title.
I hate it.
And in her book, she says that former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and former Chief of Staff John Kelly tried to recruit her to undermine Trump and save the country.
She said that Kelly and Tillerson confided in me that when they resisted the president, they weren't being insubordinate. They were trying to save the country.
And she said no to this as well. She was like, I actually don't need to save the country. I'm good.
Yeah.
It's like not on my priority list.
I'll just walk out of the UN while foreign nation is speaking.
Yeah, I'm going to let climate change just keep happening. Yeah. Like, I'm abdicating. I saw someone online saying that they think Nikki Haley wants to be the next VP, like, for Trump to, like, get rid of Mike Pence and put Nikki Haley in.
She definitely wants to be president, that's for sure. And
she definitely doesn't want to be seen criticizing Trump ever. Like, that's not a calculation she's making.
And she also doesn't want to be that close to him either. She's trying to play this, like, game where she, like, coasts down the middle.
Yeah.
I was watching her on CBS Sunday Morning this past weekend, which I think is the best news program out there, by the way. And she kind of scared the shit out of me. Because, like, I could see people really liking her. Yes. But she's also, like, an awful person.
She is a top potential 2024 candidate for Republicans. Mm-hmm. So that obviously assumes that Trump would ever leave office if he won re-election, which I don't think would be the case. And she said in an interview that she believes Trump's behavior on the Ukraine call was inappropriate but not impeachable, which is basically Republican Party line at this point.
She also, like, compared it to, like, he tried it and he didn't succeed, so what's the problem? It's like, oh, well, I just tried to smack Elise in the face, but, you know, that's not assault because I didn't get to do it.
I didn't succeed. I fired a gun at you.
Yeah.
Here you are. Yeah. So
it skimmed your ear.
Yeah, let bygones be bygones. And there's yet another book to talk about. John Bolton just got a $2 million book deal. Because who doesn't want to read a book from John Bolton?
Simon & Schuster coming in with the big bucks.
Big bucks. So he's a national security hawk, loved to get into wars. He resigned because Trump was negotiating with the Taliban.
Trying to get them to come to Camp David.
Yeah. Oh, well, he didn't ultimately get to do it, but Trump wanted them to come to Camp David.
He says he resigns. Trump maintains that he fired him.
Yeah.
Bolton's coming up a lot lately, actually, with this impeachment inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
He says he has a lot of information that the House does not yet know about. However, he is, like, waiting for the courts to compel him to go against orders from the White House. Because right now what's happening, especially with these impeachment inquiries, is people feel like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place with these, like, two branches of our government. It's like the Congress is subpoenaing them, and then the White House is like, no, don't go.
But John Bolton isn't in the White House. So
it's true.
If he wanted to go in there, he could go in there. He's just being a little poo.
Well, now he could be saving all that info for his book.
That's true. So that's exactly how, like, craven all of these people are. Like, I'm not going to, like, do anything actually meaningful about all this horrifying stuff I've said, but I will profit off of it by making a book. And, like, okay, I'm not going to go testify, but I'll, like, drop juicy details in my book.
Yeah. But the other thing is like, the Democrats don't want to wait for this legal fight to play out. They want to, like, get this shit done, get these...
Yeah.
You know, impeach the motherfucker, as they say.
Yeah, they had initially set a deadline for finding things, but my hope is that they don't stick to that deadline if new stuff comes up or if people are, like, stonewalling.
Uh-huh.
Like, because that sucks. I don't want them to be like, well, the deadline came up. Like, who set the deadline? What are we talking about? Yeah. What deadline? Uh-huh. Brexit has a new deadline every day.
Yeah.
So let's...
Nothing matters, guys.
Exactly. Nothing matters. Money's fake.
Uh-huh.
Gender's a construct. Yeah, money's just all fake.
Numbers on a computer screen now.
Exactly. Shall we get into the election section?
Yes.
All right. Pete Buttigieg has raised a ton of money, and his poll numbers in Iowa are
growing
really good, which has led to, surprise, surprise, other Dems in the race growing increasingly annoyed with him.
Yeah.
Now everyone's mad at him.
Yeah.
Welcome, Pete Buttigieg, welcome to your tape.
Yeah. their main gripe is that he is too inexperienced to be taken so seriously this late in the game. What's really, like, wait, what's that expression? Gades my goat?
What
really gets my goat?
Yes.
About Pete Buttigieg. And Steve Bullock talked about this recently, is that when he was most recently elected mayor in South Bend, Indiana, he got less than 9,000 votes to become mayor. which is less than 1/10 of the population of South Bend, Indiana. There's 100,000 people there, and he became the mayor because a little bit more than 8,000 people voted for him, and now he's almost like a serious presidential candidate.
See, that is not my big thing against Pete Buttigieg, because I'm kind of, for me, I feel like all that shit's out the window at this point with with Donald Trump as the president, and then, like, you know, I'm just like, I don't know. For me, the things that bother me about Pete have more to do with, like, kind of his weird pivot to becoming a moderate, and, like,
yeah,
his campaign seems very focus tested to me in a way that that's my thing that bothers him. So when I hear that argument, for me, I'm like, that's not really, that doesn't, like, resonate with me as to why Pete shouldn't be the candidate, I guess.
I mean, it's just like, and it's not, so, but if he is, you know, going to run on this, I'm the mayor of a small town, I'm like a figure who has executive power in a town, then you need to have, like, the cleanest, best record, which he does not have.
That's definitely true. Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like his campaign has undergone, like, a crazy rebrand lately. He's super successful, though.
Yeah.
He's one of the people who's climbing. He's making a lot of money. He is accepting money from big donors, which does help a little bit in making that money.
Yeah. But, like, when he first came out, he was, like, Medicare for all, et cetera, et cetera. And now he's not.
Yeah, Medicare for all who want it.
You know, he talked a lot about packing the court, which he doesn't talk about anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like, for me, as someone who has followed along, it seemed like there was this moment where Pete was like, oh, shit, Bernie and Liz are holding it down on the progressive side of this debate. And they're duking it out between each other and on Twitter with the Red Rose people and whatever. They've got that. I have no room over there. So now I'm going to become this moderate alternative to Biden, because Biden is like a wounded lamb up there. Like, he's so vulnerable.
Yeah,
to take his place. So that's what kind of has turned me off a little bit, because I really liked his message when he first got into the race, same. And he was talking about, like, generational justice and all that other stuff. I really liked it, and I liked his answer for why being a mayor could be the president.
Same. Yeah.
But in the past weeks, I just feel like his campaign has changed so much, and I haven't seen an answer for why that happened or, like, where this pivot came from.
And I like that he's, like, clearly intelligent, well spoken. He served in the military. Like, it's all, I really like that. But I feel like I've said this before, he seems very fair weathered.
And one point that did resonate with me is, like, could a female mayor of a small town be ever considered for being the president?
Exactly.
And it's like, I don't know if that could happen, but we won't even let, like, a female senator be president, so probably
or
not
secretary of state.
Last
weekend he referred to the presidential race as a two-way contest between him and Elizabeth Warren.
I'd say that's quite bold. I'd say it's bold to kick Bernie out of the race just yet. I'd say it's bold to kick Joe Biden out of the race just yet.
Just because he's, like, his numbers have gone up a lot in Iowa.
He's strong. He's doing a really good job. He's running a smart campaign. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
He's trying to do this thing that Obama did in 2008, is, like, really just, like, take off in Iowa and then be like, oh, I guess this is our guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he Obama is a once in a lifetime candidate. There's never going to be another Obama.
I've stopped looking for the new Obama.
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he actually performed as well as he wanted to when he had that, like, big dinner speech the other day.
Yeah.
Amy Klobuchar suggested that a woman running with so little experience would not have as much of a splash as Mayor Pete has had.
There we go.
Recently, Pete has said that she is that Elizabeth Warren is divisive. Elizabeth Warren responded saying she didn't like these were they're like starting to now, as we remember in the most recent debate, Mayor Pete, like, really came for Elizabeth Warren.
Yes.
On a multitude of things. And then in his speech, he made all these, like, you know, backhanded mentions towards her, which a lot of people are doing, because when you become the front runner, you get more attacks.
Yeah.
Because Elizabeth Warren nationally is not the front runner, but in every early primary state she is.
Yes. And well, she's really good in Iowa,
New Hampshire, Massachusetts, yes. California.
She's not good in like Pennsylvania, Michigan, like some of the like Wisconsin, like some of those states we need to win back, which is something her campaign is going to have to figure out.
But she said, I'm not running some consultant driven campaign with some vague ideas that are designed not to offend anyone, which I love.
Yeah.
Mayor Pete said in response, this is not a contest for who is the most established. It's a contest for who is the most convincing. The better we do, I imagine the more we'll feel some heat, but that just means we're doing well. I don't know. Okay. I'm sorry to like really keep going in on Mayor Pete. but is this a contest for who is most convincing? No.
I feel like it's a contest for everything. It's like, everything's on the table, man.
It's like the most established. I feel like that's a better argument. Like I'm more like, I don't know.
But then is Joe Biden the most established? Probably.
That's true. But
and
like,
then it's like,
when someone said, am I more convincing? It makes you seem that you're trying to trick me into something. I'm like,
convincing is an interesting
word. Like, are you convincing me to try and have sex with you? Like, which I would see Mayor Pete doing to me. He seems
statement.
Like one of those guys that I knew when I was a younger kid, you know,
like,
older man trying to get me to come home with them after a few drinks.
He wouldn't be that much older.
That's true. I know. Chastain's only 29 years old, which really,
wow.
I know. I wish I said this before, but I could have been the first lady.
That is true.
God.
That is true. So Chastain and Pete actually have the same, age gap as me and my fiance, so unfortunately we have to stand.
But you know, I would not, I would be happy to vote for Mayor Pete in the general election.
Listen, whoever gets through, but this pivot to me has seemed a little icky.
Yeah.
And
if you like Mayor Pete and you're listening, let us know why.
And I do feel like I feel like all this stuff has counted Bernie out in a way that's like kind of funny to me, just because like he's raised more money than everybody. His poll numbers are super good. Like this guy's in the race, y'all. And say what you want about his Twitter people, but it's not like he has a chance to be the nominee.
Yeah.
And we should like pay attention to what the fuck he's doing.
Oh, totally.
Too. And he speaks for a huge wing of the Democratic Party that's like activist on the streets, ready to go, super animated.
Yeah.
Has like, and like if you think about like the super left wing of the party, they have like an activism infrastructure for like knocking on doors and going out there and doing stuff. So it's like we should pay attention to what is going on over there.
Yeah. And something else that recently came to my attention with like Joe Biden being, if Joe Biden is the nominee, that makes me a little nervous, is that I don't see like, you know, like those grassroots movements, those activists, those people knocking on doors for someone like Joe Biden. It makes me nervous.
It does.
Whereas like, I feel like if Bernie got it or if Elizabeth got it or Mayor Pete got it, I feel like people would still be more incentivized to go out and knock on doors.
Yes, I think so. I do. My biggest fear with a Joe Biden nomination is the depression of enthusiasm, because I just don't know who his enthusiastic people are. He's raised like no money compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
An insanely low amount, like $9 million to like 30 or something. Like it's bad.
And that's why we're seeing people like Mayor Bloomberg potentially entering the race.
Oh, I forgot that even happened.
Yeah, he apparently might be running for president now because of Joe Biden's like lack of, you know, and like energy behind him.
Isn't it interesting that Bernie and Liz released their plans for a wealth tax and suddenly Jeff Bezos calls Michael Bloomberg and is like, you should really run for president. Yeah. And now Michael Bloomberg's running for president.
The New York Times did this thing recently where they used Elizabeth Warren's wealth tax calculator about if it was in place starting from the early 1980s that both Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates would be multi-billionaires.
Still. I saw a thing that was like the UN says it would cost like $30 billion to alleviate world hunger, and Michael Bloomberg has like $50 billion. So he could alleviate world hunger and still have $20 billion. It's a joke. Like this is monopoly money. These are just crazy numbers.
Tax the rich people.
I went to SNL 2 weekends ago, brag, and one of the jokes that Kate McKinnon said as Elizabeth Warren is like, the once you get to this like this level of numbers, it's all nonsense. It's like saying 70 bazillion. Like it's not a real. It's not real. It's all true. Fake. It's all fake. Money is fake.
Mm-hmm.
Invest in Libra.
Yeah. Buy gold and bury it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only way, people. We start getting the same sponsorships as like Glenn Beck back in the day, yeah, or whatever, like survival kits and stuff. Start trading gold. Should we get into one more thing?
Yeah, it's a quick one.
It's a quick one. Guys, mark your calendars. Public testimony in the impeachment hearing begins this week. Coming up, we've got Bill Taylor on Wednesday. Bill Taylor of leaked text message fame.
Yeah, he's the one that basically confirmed that there was a quid pro quo.
Yes, exactly. His private door testimony was called the most damning impeachment testimony of all time. So very excited to see what the public testimony looks like.
Yeah.
Also on Wednesday, George Kent, a State Department official, will be testifying. And on Friday, we will hear from former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch. Gonna be a big week.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about these two hearings on Thursday's episode. It's gonna be me, Elise, and Amanda.
Yep,
we're gonna three-way this episode.
Yep, we'll have a three-way up, and then I guess the following Monday we'll talk about Marie.
Yeah,
so there will be two on Thursday, mm-hmm, one on Monday.
Mm-hmm. As always, remember to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Leave us some good reviews, no negative ones, please.
You can just unsubscribe and just say nothing.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have anything nice to say, say nothing at all.
Yeah, just go on your way and be like, it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yep. All right, guys, until the end of democracy, I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Podcast.
Betches.